and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Okay, so that's what the Lord said to us. He said, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Hallelujah. Okay. Yes. Yes. So, we find God pronouncing this blessing here upon Abram. At this time, he was called Abram. Let's go to Genesis chapter 14. Verse 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him, Abram, and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. Okay, now let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. That's what God is saying to me. Deuteronomy chapter 28 from verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all that, all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God, it says, will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings, amen, shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way, and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head, and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. It says that they should hearken diligently. It starts chapter 28 by saying that they should hearken diligently. When it says they should hearken diligently, it means that one, they should pay attention. That word there, and it means to listen attentively and to respond. Okay, it means to listen attentively and to respond. It also means to publish. to listen and to publish. That's what he said there. And then we're going to Hebrews chapter 4. You know, the Israelites had been in Egypt for a long time. And then finally God was taking them out of there. Amen. And he sent Moses to bring these people out. So they came out of Egypt. And God spoke to them and said that the land that you are coming into is not like Egypt. He said in Egypt, you had to do irrigation. You had to fetch water from the Nile and water the plants. But he said, in the land that I'm bringing you into, he said, it's the land that drinks rain from heaven. He said, that land drinks rain from heaven. And he said that the Lord your God cares for the land. So this was a good place that God was bringing them into. In fact, they said the land is an exceedingly good land. The exceedingly good land. So God was bringing them into this good land. And he said that this was a land that the Lord himself took care of. But there at the border, it had been about 40 years and they were at the border. And now they were about to enter into the land. And Moses is about to leave them. And so now he tells them these blessings. So he proclaimed these blessings and then he left. They were just about entering the land. And this was called a promised land for a reason. This was the land that God had promised Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. You know, God had promised them this land. And now it was time for them to come into the land. It was time for them to come into the land. And when they got there, they got to the border of the promised land. And then the Bible says that Moses was now proclaiming the blessing upon them. The people have come. This is the promise. They're about to go into the promised land. And this land was what? A blessed land. And yet the Bible says that Moses proclaimed the blessing upon them. And then we look at Adam also. Adam hadn't sinned. He hadn't done anything wrong. Satan had not deceived his wife. And yet, the Bible says God blessed him. You see? So, but God is bringing this man into a garden. In that garden, there was nothing that had not destroyed. Okay? There was no evil in the garden. And yet, the Bible says God pronounced the blessing upon Adam. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. From verse 1. It says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. For the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore, it remaineth that some must enter therein. And they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus, and now verse 8 says, if Jesus, it's not Jesus. The word is Joshua. It's not talking about Jesus Christ. It's talking about Joshua. And so what he's saying here is that if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have been saying that they would not enter into the rest. Okay, so he was talking about the Israelites. That the Israelites came, Joshua brought. You know, the Greek word for Joshua is Jesus. So that's why. So, and here, the translators should have done a good job of just rendering it as Joshua, so that we would know what he's talking about. Okay. For if Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remained therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Now, he's saying that the word of God was given to the Israelites, but they didn't believe. They didn't believe it, so they couldn't enter into the rest. So, he says that if they had believed, they would have entered into rest. But because they did not believe, they could not enter into rest. That's what he was talking about. He said that they didn't believe, so they did not enter into rest. That's what he's talking about. They didn't believe, so they could not enter into rest. Okay? Now, he says that there's a rest that remains for the people of God. There's a rest remaining for the people of God. Okay? That's what he's saying. That there's a rest remaining for the people of God. And that the people that originally received the word couldn't enjoy the rest because they did not believe. Okay. Then he's saying that the same way God on the seventh day, the Bible says on the seventh day, God rested, isn't it? He worked for 6 days. On the seventh day, he rested. In that same way, it says the people who believe, what happens? They enter into rest. He says, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Talking about the Jews. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Why is he saying this? Why is he suddenly, you know, when you take this scripture, sometimes you wonder why it was written there. That why is he suddenly saying the word of God is quick and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing to the divided asunder of spirit and soul, joint and marrow, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents. Now, what is he talking about? Why does he suddenly like move from one subject to another? What he's saying here is that the word of God came to the Jews and they didn't believe. But then he says some entered. Good. They didn't all believe. Joshua and Caleb believed. They entered into the rest. The rest of them did not, except their children. Now, he's saying that we should pay attention to make sure that we believe this word that is spoken to us. Then he goes on to say, for the word of God is quick. Why? What he's saying is that when the word of God is given, remember, it says, in the beginning was the word, right? The word was with God, the word was God, right? And it says, all things were made by him. He's saying that the word of God knows. The word, here it says, the logos of God is quick. The word is the logos of God. So the word of God knows who believes and who does not believe. That's what he's saying here. That's why he says that he's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Meaning that when the word of God comes and is met with faith, the word of God knows that I have found a home here. And it will produce results. Hallelujah. That's why he's saying that neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. He said, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So he's telling you that the word of God, the word of God was spoken to 8 million people or 7 million, 3 million, whatever the number. And some believed and some did not believe. How come it was that the two who believed, they entered into the land? And the 7.999 whatever, that million that did not believe, did not enter into the promised land. They didn't enter because the word of God knew those who believed and those who did not believe. That's why he's saying this, that nothing is hidden from his eyes. So when the word of God is proclaimed, he's telling you that the word of God, when it comes in and you receive it, mixed with faith. It says that because the word that was preached was not mixed with faith in them that heard it. That's how come they couldn't enter into the rest. This means that when we hear the word of God, we have a response. I said, when he said, hearken diligently, I said, it is what? To listen attentively and to respond. Is that not what I said? To listen attentively and to respond. Listen attentively and what? Respond to the word. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, let's go to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4 from verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found? Okay. What shall we say that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he had whereof to glory, but not before God. He says, what shall we say about Abraham? He said, if Abraham was rewarded for his good works, then he could boast, but not before God anyway, because God is almighty. He doesn't care how good anybody is. Hallelujah. But then he says, for what says the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So I'm tying these scriptures together. From Hebrews 4, Romans 4, he's telling us something. Hebrews 4 is saying that we should pay attention and make sure that we believe. Okay, because some of those who heard the word did not believe. But he says that the word of God knows the heart that believes. And then he comes to use Abraham as an example. That Abraham believed. And because Abraham believed, his faith was credited to him as what? Righteousness. So that's what the Bible is saying here. Okay. Then it says, now if you go to Genesis chapter 15, the Bible says from verse 1, it said, now the word of God came unto Abraham, saying, it said, fear not, Abraham, I am Abraham. I am thy shield, thy exceedingly great reward. Okay, it said, fear not, Abraham, I'm your shield and your exceedingly great reward. And then it says, Abraham said, what wilt thou give me? And he said that because he went childless and said, this is Eliezer of Damascus will be his heir. God said, no. This shall not be thine heir, but one coming out of thine loins shall be thine heir. And the Bible says that God took Abraham out of the tent and went and showed him the sky and told him to number the sky, the stars. He said, see, number them if you can. Okay. He said, that's how your seed will be. And then the verse 6, I think, says that now Abraham believed in the Lord and it was credited to him as righteousness. It was credited to him for what? Righteousness. Abraham believed in the Lord. So we find somebody who believed and possessed the blessing. Then we are told about Abraham's grandchildren or great-grandchildren who did not believe and could not possess. What's the difference between these two groups of people? I said, that's why Moses told them, hearken diligently. He said, it's what? Hearken diligently. And I said, hearken diligently means what? To listen attentively and to respond to. Hallelujah. This is why, in fact, Moses told them that they were supposed to announce their blessings on one mountain. And anytime the blessings were pronounced, the people were to say what? Amen. Do you see that? They were to say amen. Why? When we go to Genesis chapter 15, where it says Abraham believed in the Lord. How did Abraham believe? He believed in his heart with a response. And I've said that the word is what? Aman. Okay? From where you get the word amen. So aman is the verb form of what? Amen. So when God spoke to Abraham and said, Abraham, Eliezer is not going to be your heir. What happened was, Abraham said amen. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Abraham said amen. And that's how he possessed the blessing. Glory to God. Abraham simply said what? Amen, and possessed it. He said he believed in the Lord. So he proclaimed what? Amen to the blessing. Amen to the blessing. And he says the word of God, it says it knows. The word of God knows when, I'll say, he has been believed. Hallelujah. So that's it. Glory to God. Is it this? It's amazing, isn't it? Yes. So once you hear it and you believe, the word of God knows. He says that he's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. He says, oh, I found a home here. I found a home here. I found a home here. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
And he said, nothing is hidden from his eyes. Glory to God.
Glory to Jesus.
He said, once he has found a home, he will produce results. Glory to God. Let's go to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5 from verse 1. It says, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word, again, to hear the logos of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. So this is talking about Jesus. So Jesus was preaching and the people were pressing on him they're pressing on him to hear. And then it says, and he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's. Okay. One narration says that God told, so let's continue. It says, which was Simon's, and asked him, prayed him, that he would thrust out a little from the land. Okay. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. So Jesus had a business proposition for Peter. He came to Peter and said, Peter, I have this business plan. So Jesus had a business plan for Peter. He said, Peter, I have a business plan for you. Joint venture. So Jesus had a joint venture plan for Peter. He said, Peter said, what's my part? He said, give me your boat. Glory to God. So he said, give me your boat. The business plan is the gospel. He said, help me preach, Peter. Help me preach the gospel. And he said that all you have to do is let me sit in your boat and let me use it to preach. So he taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. So he said, launch out and let down your nets for a draught. And usually you can tell the kind of message that is being preached from the results that are being produced. Usually, for example, the Bible says that when Paul was preaching, there sat a man impotent in his feet who had never walked. The Bible says the same heard Paul speak, whom steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed. Faith to be healed. See, said to him in a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. So how would the man have faith to be healed if Paul was not preaching something that would impart faith to be healed? So you can see what the outcome of that message was. So that can tell you what he was preaching. Hallelujah. So Jesus must have been teaching on the kingdom along the lines of the blessing of the kingdom over here. So that's what he taught. That was the logos. That was the logos that he brought to the people. So he taught them from Peter's boat. At the end of the period, he said to Peter, launch out your boat into the deep. He said, launch out into the deep for a catch. It was not just an expedition that nobody knew what was going to come out of it. He didn't just say launch out. He said launch out for a catch. So there had to be what? An expectation. Hallelujah. An expectation. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. He said, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the nets. Now, if you read this, okay, let me read the whole thing and then I'll tell you. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net break. And they beckoned unto partners. The word there in there is italicized. It was not there. So you can see if you're looking at the King James, you see that there is in italic. So they beckoned unto partners. They didn't have these partners before. But this increase was so much that suddenly they needed partners. So that's what is happening here. Okay, so this was not their partners. This was they called partners in the other boats. All right. Which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. So something is happening here. What is happening here is that Jesus said to Peter, he said, launch out into the deep and let down the nets. If you are looking, look at the King James. What do you find there? Nets, right? Do you see it in your nets? Nets with the plural, right? Okay. And then what was Peter's response? Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down what? The net. So Jesus tells Peter, launch into the deep and let down the nets. What were they doing before? He says that they were fishermen washing their nets. before Jesus commanded the boat. And then he said, let down the nets. And Peter let down the net. What is it telling you here? Remember what Jesus said? He said that the sower sowed the seed. He said, some fell on good ground. And then they bore fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Now, the capacity, it depended on, so 30% believing, 30%, 30-fold. 30-fold believing, 30-fold result. 60-fold believing, 60-fold result. 100-fold believing, 100-fold result. So it depends on how much you mix what you are hearing. Hallelujah. So someone hears the same thing and says, I'm going for something of 100 million. Another person hears the same thing and says, I'm going for 10 million. Another person hears the same thing and says, I'm going for 50 million. Do you see that? It depends on the extent to which you mix what you are hearing with faith. So Jesus said, let down the nets. And what does Peter do? He lets down the net. And the net that Peter let down was the worst among the lot. That's how it began to break. The net began to break. So at this time, what he let down was a net that was getting to breaking point. So that's what happened. So, and yet the Bible says that suddenly, wherever the fishes were, they came in. You know, Jesus, Peter said, at your rhema, I will let down the nets. At your rhema, I will let down the nets. Let down the nets. At your rhema, I will let down the nets. Do you remember Elisha and the widow? The widow came to Elisha and said, Master, your servant, you know, served the Lord, was faithful, blah, blah, blah. Now he had died and left the family. And the creditors came and took, they wanted her two sons. So Elisha said, what do you have in your house? He said, tell me, what do you have in your house? He said, she had nothing except a little cruse of oil. Okay? And he told her to go and get what? Jars, gallons, containers. And he said to her, don't get a few. Do you see that? Don't get a few. You know that story, don't you? Do not get a few. He said, borrow not a few. Get a lot. Because the miracle has no boundaries. So it depends on how much she was ready to receive. And the Bible says that she kept pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring until she said to the son, bring me one more container. And he said, it is finished. And the moment that happened, the flow stopped. Hallelujah. So you see that she responded in faith. So whatever she got, depending on how much she believed, how much she believed. Glory to God. How much she believed. So this is what happened here. Peter heard that word. And they decided to respond to it. That's why the Bible talks about mixing the word with faith. Mixing the word with faith. And there's one thing that nobody can deceive. That's why I said that the word of God has eyes. It says that he's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. He knows. He knows that this person believes me. This one does not believe. He knows. So once he finds a home, to produce results. Glory to God. And we are here because our hearts are the perfect receptacle for the word. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Say, I don't struggle to believe. Amen. Say, I'm not an unbeliever. Say, thank God I'm not an unbeliever. Say, I believe the word of God. The word of God always works for me. The first thing about it is that it's important to hear the blessing. This is why God told the Israelites that once a year, they were all supposed to gather in one place so that the priest would proclaim the blessing over them. They had to hear it. Hallelujah. Otherwise, just writing it down would have been enough. Once they wrote it down, keep it in the ark or keep it somewhere. Yeah, tablets of stone, put them in the ark or in the tabernacle. Once it has been spoken and written, that should have been enough, right? But they said they had to hear it first. In addition, God told Moses that speak unto Aaron and his sons that this is how you will bless the children of Israel and do what? And put my name upon them. Put my name upon them. So they had to hear the blessing. They had to hear it. So hearing it is what? Very important. And the next thing is what? Believing it or mixing it with faith. And the expression of that is simple. Amen. You know, just imagine. You know, sometimes people, when they say amen, they mean, well, I don't think so. But if you say so, amen. You know, they are desecrating the word. But amen is a powerful word. It actually, that's the expression of faith. And in the book of Revelations, Jesus is referred to as the Amen. He says he is the Amen. So he is a surety that what we are hearing will come to pass. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. That what you hear will come to pass. Amen. So when you hear that word, all your response is what? Amen.
Amen.
And it says that the Amen is to the glory of God. And that seals it. It will definitely come to pass. It will definitely come to pass. Glory to God. I'm going to end the meeting. I'm not preaching for a long time. I'm going to lay hands on the children. So just get them ready. And Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, thank you for this word. The word of the blessing. We are people who are believers. So we believe. We don't struggle to believe. You have dealt to us the measure of faith. And that measure of faith keeps increasing continually. And we are doing these things at your command, at your word, at your rhema. And I declare in the name of Jesus that as these hands are laid on these children are consecrated unto you. Amen. These are blessed children. Amen. Blessed when they go out and blessed when they come in. Amen. Blessed everywhere they are. You said that they will be above only, never beneath. You said they are the first and never last. I declare that this begins to manifest everywhere they go. Amen. In the name of Jesus, these are proper children. They are growing up in the knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Amen. I declare that through them, you will demonstrate your power to the world to see. In the name of the Lord Jesus. And by these hands, I declare their preservation from the evil that is in the world. I declare that they are kept by the power of God, protected, preserved, sustained. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I proclaim the favor of God upon them. People that they have not known will do them good. In the name of Jesus, when they step in a strange land, that strange land will produce for them good and favor. In Jesus' name, whatever they do will prosper. They prosper on the left-hand side and on the right-hand side. I declare in the name of Jesus, you establish their steps. Their footsteps will not slide. In the name of the Lord Jesus, you endow them with skill. You endow them with divine ability. You endow them with an intelligent mind. In the name of the Lord Jesus, the blessing of the Lord that makes rich rest upon